The Diablo 3 PC/Mac game revolves around an interesting plot which will keep you spellbound while you are playing. This strategy video game also has some similar settings to the Diablo 2, like Tristram. The Witch Doctor is a new character in this game, is reminiscent of the Diablo 2 Necromancer. The barbarians in the strategy video game have a variety of revamped skills at their disposal on the basis of the use of their incredible physical prowess. Bring home the PC video game to solve the mysteries of the mighty barbarians.
Yeah, that's a...
Buy Diablo 3 today at Walmart.com.
I'd just like to say that for our 100th podcast, we were thinking about renaming the site. I say that we rename the site Mysteries of the Barbarians.
Yeah, or Incredible Physical Prowess.
BarbarianMysteries.com.
Now, for the record, this is the Walmart.com product description of Diablo. They've recently changed it, apparently, because they were too embarrassed. But it's not like they gave a shit about Diablo anyway. Look at what their first item description was. Like, they didn't care. So why do they care now?
As far as we know, this is like 90% of Walmart product descriptions are written like this. No one ever actually goes to Walmart.com to figure it out. Because what the fuck are you doing instead of going to Amazon.com? Yeah. So as far as we know, like, some, like middle management's son, like, 8-year-old son, has been just going through all these, like, a giant wiki page for all of Walmart stuff. Yeah. So
maybe this is how Walmart sells Diablo to Walmart customers.
Maybe so.
Like, if you go to Walmart for a box copy of Diablo 3, maybe that's exactly what you need to hear.
Well, they've changed it since. I'm glad we have a screen cap of the old Walmart Diablo description, because right now, I don't know, I'm going to pull up both versions. All right. There are two different descriptions on both versions of it. That's weird. So here we go. Oh, wait, no, that's the guide? What the fuck? Limited edition guide. Okay, so here's the actual one. Now it says, evil is in its prime. 20 years have passed since the prime evils were defeated and banished from the world of Sanctuary. Now you must return to where it all began, the town of Tristram, and investigate rumors of a fallen star. For this is the first sign of evil's rebirth and an omen that the end times have begun. Wield the might of 1,000 powers. Shake the earth, blast your enemies with fire and ice, summon otherworldly minions, and much more as you wield the powers of your heroic birthright.
That's just as stupid. Because it's not a rumor that the star fell. There's a star that's falling, and everyone can see it. There's not a rumor about it.
Well, let's be fair. I mean, sure, if you're a heavy Diablo 3 guy, that sounds really silly. Then again, I question why a heavy Diablo 3 guy isn't getting this thing online. Yeah. It's like the people who care about this, who is being sold to, fine. As long as it doesn't sound like it's being written by like an 8-year-old.
From the fabled spires of Caldium to the besieged walls of Bastion's Keep, the mortal world has fallen under the corrupting influence of infernal powers. Aid in Sanctuary's defense as it teeters on the brink of demonic annihilation.
Yeah, see?
What was the Mass Effect 3 thing? What were those pesky Reapers?
Yeah, those...
No, it wasn't diabolical Reapers.
What would those diabolical Diablos do next?
Oh, boy. But what is really weird about Walmart is you're thinking, okay, you know, how many customers are going to go get their Diablo 3 from Walmart? But as far as PC games go, I remember one of the top-selling Walmart video games as far as PC games goes is Galactic Civilizations 2. They had a box copy of it, and that sold almost as well as like those big Sims compilations did. And I'm like, Galactic Civilizations 2? You'd think they'd want to buy, what was it, Redneck Rampage and, you know.
Cabela's Ultimate Ninja Hunt. Yeah. The Western Edition.
Shippuden.
You would play Cabela's Ninja Shippuden. Hunt Western Edition.
I would play it for people's entertainment.
Yeah. You'll do anything for people's entertainment, Imran.
Apparently.
Almost anything. Didn't you were playing what, Geist this weekend?
I was playing Geist and Mindjack.
Mindjack. What's Mindjack?
It is a really bad shooter from Square Enix where people can just like pop into anyone that's on the field. Yeah. What? It's aggressively mediocre, because it's just you go into a room, and then you fight enemies, and then just more enemies come out, and like people online can just drop in and drop out.
Oh, so it's sort of like single player mixed with multiplayer?
It's like Left 4 Dead if when the game ends, you just have to redo the level. And it just keeps going like that, so there's no motivation for the other team.
Because when did this game come out? When did Mind Jack come out?
Last year, I think.
Because I remember, shit, it must have been, I want to say it like almost 6 years ago. I think I was still in college, but do you guys remember The Crossing?
Yep.
The thing that, it was Valve, right? Valve that announced?
Or no, it wasn't Valve.
No, it was, I guess it was in the Source Engine. I thought it was them, though.
No, because they were talking, it was a company, it may have been like how Counter-Strike was. How it was, yeah, Source powered, and Valve had
developed by Arkane.
Oh, it was Arkane. Okay, I thought for some reason that what is the RPG by them that I really love and I can't think of the name right now?
Diablo 3.
No, not Diablo 3. It was first person kind of dungeon crawly. Arx Fatalis, thank you. I don't know why I couldn't remember that. But yeah, so that's right. But yeah, so I remember the Crossing, and the whole premise was that you're playing through this single-player game, you know, whatever the story, the Templar, Knights Templar, still live, whatever. But while you're playing through the single-player game, actual people could hop in and play the bad guys that you're kind of slogging through. Mm. Which was a pretty interesting idea, I guess.
It's a great idea.
The whole advertising bit of it was like single player, multiplayer, cross player.
Yeah.
And then it was called The Crossing.
Were there any like born again people that were confused by cross player and just assumed this is like evangelical like RPG? Because that'd be cool.
You get to play as a cross.
No. That would probably be sacrilegious.
You know what they should do? They should put the cross as like one of the Microsoft World where tooltip helpers.
Right. Oh god, he pops up. I see you're trying to play multiplayer.
Hey, I'm trying the cross. Right. I'm Rosie the Rosemary.
I see you're trying to nail someone to me.
Oh fuck. Oh fuck.
Oh, I'm keeping it.
Yep. But right, so anyway, so is that sort of what Mind Jack is like? Maybe
it's like Gears of War.
Hold on, okay, no, keep going. Never mind. I was about to say, what do you mean, like being nailed to a cross? But continue.
Jesus.
Yes.
That was completely unintentional. Anyways, let's stop talking.
Good
about
old
this.
Explicit tag.
Yeah, that's right.
But yeah, so so that's the thing.
It's like Gears Horde mode, except people can drop in, and right. Nobody really gets anything if you lose.
Right. Because I mean, I guess we sort of see some of that. I don't know. I guess we've seen some of this in like Dark Souls and where people can sort of invade your game while you're playing single player. And I would actually kind of really enjoy seeing something like that in, I don't know, Left 4 Dead 3, where you can be playing through a campaign with some friends, and then without you really knowing, somebody could join and, you know, kind of start being one of the special infected.
Oh, yeah, like naturally have it evolve into a versus match.
Right.
I thought that's what Mind Jack was supposed to do, is like you couldn't tell which guy on the enemy squad was like the human and not the AI.
Well, you can tell because they glow a little bit.
Oh, well, that's stupid.
Yeah.
Like.
But the problem is the actual shooting sucks, so right. It's not fun.
So, beyond that, I mean, that's what the game is about. So if that sucks, then it's a shame if everything around that is okay.
Like, if they did it with, like, Gears of War, that would be interesting. Because that would make the single player probably a lot better.
And I'm really hoping, speaking of Left 4 Dead games, I'm sorry. Speaking of Left 4 Dead 3, I really hope that while you're kind of waiting, as much fun as I have kind of watching the battlefield in the time that you're waiting for respawn a special infected, I would be totally fine if you could just become one of the regular common infected and just kind of charge at them or do freaky, stupid things.
Right.
Yeah.
That would be fun. I think like Dead Space does something like that, or Dead Space 2's multiplayer.
Maybe. Right, I don't know. I only watched a video about Dead Space 2's. I need to play Dead Space 2, by the way. There's a lot of games I need to play.
I keep meaning to like get it just for the multiplayer when it comes on sale on Steam. But I missed the last sale because I didn't hear about it.
Yeah, that might be a good idea. But right, anyways, what I was going to say is, yeah, if you haven't heard, we play a ton of Left 4 Dead 2. Mm-hmm. It's a really good multiplayer experience. And if you're not playing it with All Talk On with seven of your friends, then you're doing it wrong.
Yeah. If you're playing it competitively, then you're not going to have fun.
Right, yes. Exactly. It's not that type of game.
Although admittedly, and maybe this was an elitist mentality, but back in Left 4 Dead 1, you know, the kind of... We only had a small group of people that played it regularly from the platforms. And we used to go and pub stomp. So we'd, you know, join a game, all go to one side, you know, infected or humans, and then just open it up to public just so we could have fun stomping, you know, puppies and yep. Anyways.
I would say that since I've only been playing for like the past couple of weeks, the scoring in that game is really fucked because all you need is like one bad round, and that's it. There's just absolutely no way to catch up.
Yeah, it is weird scoring.
I guess I don't even. Maybe it's kind of dumb that game even has a score to begin with.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. Is I wouldn't like whenever I play, which isn't enough, honestly. But whenever I play, I never really look at the score. I think the reason why I play is to get like a good drop as a boomer or. You play moment to moment.
It's fun, right? I mean, it's just these really neat moments emerge in that game, just kind of naturally. In the same way, I don't know, like Rock Paper Shotgun put up an article today about what is it called, DayZ, which is a mod for
Arma. Yeah,
not Days, oh yeah, I definitely want to play that.
Yes. DayZ, which is a mod for Arma 2, and these kind of it's usually these sandboxy games that have these really kind of interesting, quirky situations that emerge just kind of naturally. Emerging gameplay, exactly. But Left 4 Dead 2 kind of does the same thing. I don't know. Help me out here.
There was a thing last night where I was on the Special Infected team, and Robin Van Gilder, who was on the Jumpcast, he was on the Survivor team. And I was trying to charge him off of the elevator shaft in the final map of No Mercy, which is an instant death. So that would pretty much...
You're basically flying off the top of a skyscraper.
Right. So I go up there to charge him, and, like, at the very last second, a bot goes in front of him. So the second person you charge, if you've already grabbed onto somebody, they go flying. They don't actually come with you. Yeah, so I grab the bot, and Robin just, for some reason, goes sideways. For the next five minutes, we just keep laughing about it.
Oh, man. Yeah, there's some really great moments that emerge from Left 4 Dead 2. But yeah, scoring wise, it is weird because I mean you can be ahead by like 200 points or something, and then if the other person's kind of lashed out just to the moment where the tank arrives, they'll get like 400 points, but like then they can just die from the tank and it'll be fine. So I'd like to see kind of, I don't know, maybe you can either select or just kind of look at it at the end, different scoring methods for like, you know, total number of common and special infected killed. Although I guess that might lean towards people just kind of hanging around and waiting for respawns or something. I don't know.
I would almost say it might be a better game without the score. Because then you're not looking at it.
You can always just ignore the score. I mean...
Yeah, but
we had a game last night where the final score was a 1-point
difference. I saw that. That's insane. It was like 1941 to 1942.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy. And like Mark's saying, because the scoring is just so wild, it's really weird when you get close scores like that. Yeah. So, but even when they're within like 300 points, 400 points, I usually just at the end go, that's basically a tie, all things considered in the game.
Mm-hmm. The only problem with scoring for me is that when you can mathematically figure out whether the other team can win or not, because that just kills all motivation for the last part.
Right. Yeah, I know. Usually, you know, at the beginning of the last round, if there's a really, really shitty one-sided game or whatever, then usually somebody goes, well, if we all survive perfect health with all our health kits, we'll win by 2 points. Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. It'll be interesting. I'm sure it's an IP that Valve is going to run with. I hope so. Anyways, I hope we see a Left 4 Dead 3.
We've never established that Valve can make a 3 game.
This is true. This is very true. I mean, we know they're working on it.
They can't do Episode 3, Half-Life 3, Portal 3, Left 4 Dead 3.
We might get an Episode 3 or a Half-Life 3.
Maybe.
Eventually.
Like, Gabe Newell couldn't even refer to Half-Life 3 as the actual name. He had to call it Ricochet 2.
They should just call it the new Half-Life.
Yeah.
New Half-Life Brothers.
The new Portal, the new Left 4 Dead.
Or just go all reboot on it, call it The Half-Life.
The Half-Life, yeah. That would be weird. That'd be really, you can't The Half. Isn't that like improper use of a, I don't know.
Well, because Half-Life is one term.
Right.
So,
no,
The Half-Life would make sense.
The Half-Life.
I don't know what that means.
I don't know what that means, and you're stupid.
It doesn't mean anything, it just sounds better.
Is there a comma?
Life. Yeah. Yeah, there could be a semicolon in there. The Half.
Just have Walmart.com. Makes
it. It's like poetry.
I see.
Or they could just rip off the Game of Life and call it the Game of Half-Life. Same logo and everything, except the crowbar there.
Boxes, the bright colors.
They did Metal Gear Risk. There's no reason not to do this.
Now I'm imagining like a old sitcom, Brady Bunch style intro for Half-Life, where it's like, it just says Gordon Freeman and he looks at the camera and gives a thumbs up and
everybody's dirty and depressed and it's the end of the world and there's like a ray that keeps people from having sex. So nobody really be around.
What?
But then it cuts to a montage of the professor and his little head crab buddy being like doing like
Ray Lamar. I've probably mentioned this on the cast before, but a long time ago there was someone that was working on a single player mod, a TC, whatever you want to call it, for Half-Life 2 called Lamar's Big Adventure.
Oh man.
Where you would play as the head crab, the de-beaked head crab, kind of going on his adventures to the point from when he, escapes from Dr. Vance's lab, or not Dr. Vance, Dr. Kleiner's lab.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. I don't think it ever came to fruition, which is sad because it would have been great.
That would be rad. Let's see, is there anything else besides Mindjack you've been playing, Imran?
Somebody bet me $20 that I could not get the achievement for beating all of Sonic's levels on hard.
We get on the cast of just before we record, and I hear some whooping and whooshing, and I thought they were lightsaber sounds in the background. And I'm like, what is that, Imran? And Imran goes, you guys are not going to believe what I'm playing. And we go, what are you? And he goes, Sonic 2006. And both West and I are just like, what the fuck?
Yeah, we did this gasp, taken aback, oh
right,
no.
Right, I think that's...
Because surely he's been traumatized by his previous Sonic 2006 experience.
I think that's Stockholm Syndrome, isn't it?
Is.
It? But then, right, so go on, Imran. $20.
Well, it's actually, worse now than it was during the race. Because then, all the glitches and stuff were entertaining to people. This is just me raging in my room.
Right.
Nice.
It's a different seal.
I'm not sure the $20 is going to be worth it, but we'll see. I'm more than halfway through.
Yeah, but what are you going to get with the $20? Are you like Chinese for a couple of nights?
I was going to buy a Steam card just to see how that works.
A Kotaku Steam card?
Yeah, the GameStop Steam cards.
Oh.
Yeah, let's talk about that for a second.
Wait, no, but I remember, wasn't there a screenshot where it said it was Kotaku? It was actually said Kotaku on the Steam game card, unless that was just a, watermark.
It was a watermark, but yeah, I bet they placed it there just to...
The original screenshot came from Reddit.
I feel like an idiot.
No, you're fine.
For even believing that that would ever happen.
That Kotaku could have that much pull. But, okay, so who at GameStop...
Steam game cards, the new... Visa gift cards? Kotaku headline. Anyways, go on.
But who at the GameStop corporate office let out the sigh before signing that deal? Well, we bought Impulse from Brad Wardell and this thing fucking sucks.
Oh yeah, they did do that, didn't they?
Yes, they did. So it's an Impulse, I have a few games on Impulse, but to be quite fair, it was stuff that I couldn't get on Steam.
Right.
Sins of a Solar Empire and Galactic Civilizations, which are now both on Steam. So I rebought them on Steam because I have a sickness, but who seriously made that call? Okay, now we're going to sell our competition's gift cards.
Well, why they're doing that is because Impulse is transitioning to streaming.
Hmm.
They're going to be a more on live style.
Wait, it's streaming
online.
They're actually doing some demos, I believe now.
Hmm.
Origin does that too.
I didn't know that.
They do streaming?
I'm pretty sure you can do demos, I think. Single-player demos.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm never going to find that to be a capable solution to playing games.
Right. Yeah, it's like
I'd rather just upgrade my GPU.
Yeah, and a hard drive is $50. So if it
I would space. I would say that I'm actually in the Impulse store, and apparently GameStop didn't pay up the money to actually get Impulse.com. They actually had to buy ImpulseDriven.com.
Right, right.
So maybe that's why they can't actually sell anything on their service.
Well, that's like the whole Quickster Netflix thing. Like they which didn't check before.
Dropped. Yeah.
What?
Well, they completely dropped that.
Yeah. Well, no, I know they did, but they had announced it, and they were, as you know, for all intents and purposes, they were going to go forward with it. And then here's this, 18-year-old pothead with the Quickster Twitter account. Oh, that was amazing.
Yeah, that kid could have walked away with like $10,000.
Well, he kept asking for more, and then at some point they were like, "This is a terrible idea." Yeah. But Netflix CEO is like the most incompetent person in the world.
Oh, Reed Hastings.
It's weird. Yeah.
Because he's been saying stuff like, we're going to transition off streaming eventually. And like, no, you double down on this.
Exactly. On this. Yeah.
Double or nothing, baby.
Split.
You guys know what Hulu's doing?
Yeah.
Yep.
That you have to watch their shows. You have to provide proof that you actually subscribe to the cable channel.
So what's the point of having Hulu if I just have cable? I can just watch it.
Exactly.
There's literally none. And Hulu Plus still exists. So you don't even get the backlog.
Yeah, and not only that, but the Nielsen ratings still exist as far as cable TV goes, which do not account for DVRs.
Now, are those the full Nielsen ratings or the half Nielsen ratings?
Is that the what family demographic did Modern Family hit this week?
I think those are the chicken wing ratings.
All of them, apparently.
I believe it. Every family.
So I want to. What were we going to say, Mark?
No, I thought we were going to talk about the Steam cards for sale at Games.
Right, yes.
So weird. Can I be a jerk and be the guy that makes the little display? Like, you know how you have, like, little candy bars by the kiosk, and they're called impulse buys? Can we find a way to do that
with the Steam cards? You are a marketing genius.
Yes!
Well, it would be a marketing genius if they actually bought the impulse name and could actually use it with it. I would think it's just encouraging now that GameStop is finally selling PC games again.
Well, I don't know. Have you been to a GameStop? Like, have you driven by recently? Because the ad campaign is the dumbest. You drive by it, and it's a big poster that says, "We have the biggest selection of ways to buy digital PC games in the store." Right. And I'm like, that's really convoluted. Like, why are you advertising that?
Yeah.
They're advertising they're selling cards. Yeah. They're now in the card business. Yeah, right. You know how you can also sell cards? You have, like, a little, like, stand at a grocery store that can have all these fucking cards, too.
It's right next to the Applebee's gift cards.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, it's actually smart for GameStop because they have less – they can store way more cards and don't have to worry about all that. The problem is it totally kills their business model.
Yep.
Because if you're buying cards, you can't really trade anything in.
Right.
Well, I just
and here's, I mean, look, I get why they're selling cards because, I don't know, I guess this helps young people who don't have credit cards be able to, you know, pay with cash to get them and buy stuff online, whatever.
The margins have to be, like, so super thin on that.
Well, I was about to say, there's that, too. They're making, they can't like be making a profit on this.
Like a dime? I mean,
they may be getting better margins. I know Nintendo said when they offer cards to retailers, they're giving them better margins than they would on retail games.
Okay.
Well, that's true because the way tax works, because they have to pay tax up at the register, but then the tax doesn't register for Nintendo as if you bought it through them. I think that's how it works. It's some weird thing. But
yeah, some weird thing.
But
Mitt Romney's America.
You know.
But the weird thing is, like, okay, it makes sense because they're not stocking anything, but you know, the entire point of having GameStop is like it's the last bastion for like physical media. It's like if I want to buy 3D Dot Game Heroes, I know I can't do that if I go to Walmart. I can't do that if I go to Best Buy. I might be able to do that if I go online to Amazon, and I might luck out and be able to find it somewhere. But I am pretty sure that if I hit three different GameStops, one of those guys is going to have 3D Dot Game Heroes.
Well, it's,
and
it's,
if they're going to move to cards, then why they fucking exist? Anyone can do cards.
Well, ideally, once you make the transition fully to cards, we'd be able to buy 3D Dot Game Heroes on PSN.
Exactly.
Yeah, but they won't. They won't.
Well, speaking of this simple, this actual act of buying games at places, I remember, it must have been a week or something ago, I think Ryan Davis from Giant Bomb said he was like, I'm about to go out and buy, some game that just came out. I can't remember which one. And he said, guess as to how many times pre-order is going to be mentioned in this transaction. And for all the, you know, the hate and stuff that game, so I'm just like, don't go there. If, you know, if you don't want to deal with the whole pre-order thing and, I don't know. I don't know what Ryan Davis's take on, you know, on GameStop is, but I know in general they get a bad rap.
Right.
So I don't know. Maybe it's just
that
it's closer.
They get a bad rap because it's such a pain in the ass to shop there.
Right. Yeah.
My issue with GameStop is that they keep treating me like I'm an idiot.
Yep.
Yeah.
Right.
Like the fact that I walked in there makes them think that they know more than I do, which is fine.
Hey there, buddy. You need any help finding a game?
No, shut
like,
up, go away.
There's no point in assuming that I'm probably, like, someone who knows a lot about video games, but to the extent where you have to keep asking questions and keep offering your own advice, at some point you should get the hint.
Yeah, and that's true. I'm an old GameStop store manager, and I can literally tell you the reason why we treat everyone like an idiot there is because 95% of the clientele are idiots.
Yeah, right. I was about to say, what does that say to like the gamer community that they have to do this?
Yeah, and I mean the thing is, and this is really devious to think about, but I remember during the job interview application, they were like, "Okay, so what do you think your main goal, you know, as a store manager for this GameStop is going to be?" And I was like, "Well, you know, to get
people from stealing shit."
Well, no, to get regulars in the door and stuff like that. And they're like, "No, you're misguided. Your job is to sell magazine subscriptions and pre-orders, not video games." And I sat back, and I was like, "Oh shit, that's why this place is such a fucking wreck." Like. Yeah. That's exactly their mentality. That is from corporate's mouth over the phone to me directly during my job interview. They're like, "You don't sell video games. You sell magazines, and you sell pre-orders." And I was like, "Oh, shit."
Oh, it's no wonder everybody's going to Amazon and Steam instead of buying shit from you guys.
Yeah. Well, Amazon, especially with release date and delivery, I never need to go to GameStop again.
Right.
Unless it's just one of those days where I'm having a bad day and I want to go buy a used game.
Right. Well, so, and sometimes you want to go and you just want to look, you know, just have a gander.
Yeah, they're seeing the weird shit that they sometimes get them. I say there's one use case scenario for me for GameStop, which I'll actually deal with them, and that's when they had the buy two, get one free use sales.
Yeah, there's summer.
Right. I mean, if there's a good coupon, if I know I'm going to get a good deal, sure, I'll take the hit. And
yeah, I just wish.
And get my haircut next door, Sports Clips.
Yeah. I wish that there was a community to it. That they actually like tried to do something to build a community, but the only thing they really want to do is just. It feels like they're strip mining the industry. You know, they don't give a shit about what the damage are doing. They don't give a shit about how they piss us off. They just want to make as much money as they can. You know, destroy the market and then get the fuck out.
Yeah, well, and I completely forgot what I was about to say. I mean, right. Well, I guess it depends on the person. I mean, When I was living at my parents in Rockville, sometimes over the summers either back from college or I think even in high school, there was one guy, one of the managers at the local GameStop that I go to, who was a neat guy. Like, you know, I got to talking with him and, you know, he didn't treat me like a moron. And I actually ended up playing some City of Heroes with him online because he was a big City of Heroes player. So,
is
I mean, it really is...
a pedophile?
No. I was legal, so. But,
oh, my.
But... And I'm also laughing a lot right now because Wes just told me that where he lives, there's a Sport Clips right next to the GameStop. Where
like, literally, it's...
I mean, yeah, it's the same with me. They must have some sort of tie-in, or maybe they're owned by the same company. And they have the same red and white black-outlined logo, too.
Yeah.
It's creepy.
Yeah. But anyway, so, I mean, yeah, it's going to depend on the person. I mean, but, yeah, they don't do anything active to actually kind of build a community, as far as I can tell. But fuck it, what do they care?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I'll say I wish they gave better trade-in credit because I would take every video game item I owned and trade it in to get Steam gift cards. So I'd never have to worry about getting money for a Steam game ever again.
I still remember when I bought Parappa the Rapid, I think 2 for PS2, and I brought it home and I beat it in like 6 hours. I was like, fuck. I'm pretty sure I went back and thought about trading it in, but it just like wasn't worth it because they were only going to give me like $11 or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then sell it for $45 if I did.
Right.
Well, the nice thing, like, I remember buying God of War 2 used, and I discovered very quickly I didn't like God of War.
Mm-hmm.
So, they like, a couple of days later, I just gave it back to them, and they gave me my money back.
Nice.
That's good.
So, yeah. Like, their use policy is actually pretty great. A week is a long time to have a used game.
That is
true. And to take it back, no questions asked.
Right. I'm going to run off on a tangent, and I just want to, real quick...
No! Not on this podcast! How dare you!
No tangents! How dare I! It's video game related, if that's any...
Oh, okay. Then continue.
Spare the most of it, yeah.
Yeah.
So...
On sports clips, yeah.
and this might spawn for the discussion of other action RPGs, but Grim Dawn reached its goal on its Kickstarter.
Yeah, it did.
It had a goal of 280,000, and it's now sitting at 380,000.
Oh, yeah.
There are 4 days to go... So I think it closes on what? I guess that means Friday? I'm terrible with days. Yeah. Something like that. Should so four days to go, and there are a couple stretch funding goals. Like, you know, we'll add, like, another big boss. You know, I think, like, three really deep dungeons. Deep dungeons.
Oh, my.
That's like, I was... Anyways, but yeah, so it's still running.
Wasn't
go
deep
give us some
dungeons,
money.
An expansion pack for Neverwinter Nights?
I don't know.
That was Shadows of the Underdark.
The thing that always gets me is when I see, like, deep discounts. this is such a weird description to me. Our discounts are deep.
Yeah.
Philosophically deep, or, like, I don't know.
I don't know. But so anyways, go to grimdawn.com. Grimdawn.com. And they have a little widget of their Kickstarter right up there. Go give them money for it. Like, if you're feeling like you're just stretching on money, $18, you get the full copy of the game. And it's, again, the same guys that Torchlight.
Oh shit.
Titan Quest from Iron Lore, and they're doing really good things with this.
Yeah.
I might even say I'm more excited for it than Diablo 3, but I can't really say that right now because we're on the cusp of Diablo 3.
Yeah, it's like mere hours away. And I will say the coolest thing, it's $18 is kind of the first buy-in price, but
right.
Apparently they made a deal with Steam to where you can activate the product key that they give you on... really any service. I think it's going to be on Impulse, it's going to be on Steam, so
right.
Your key will unlock it on whatever digital distribution thing you prefer.
Yeah,
which is that's a great deal, honestly.
Yeah,
how much is it going to be when it comes out? Is it going to be a full price, like, or $40?
I imagine, like, I don't know. I have no idea. Probably 20. I'd imagine its pricing will be like Torchlight, so I want to say like $20 or something.
Yeah.
But I don't know, I have no idea. But there are some neat, like, you know, if you want to give more than 18, which you should, by the way, because these guys are well deserving of it, I think. They've added some, you know, little kind of goals or gifts or not gifts, but bonuses. You get like you get a swashbuckler, a thing. You can get a George Washington wig for your character in game, which I think is fucking sweet.
That is cool. And that's the same one. That's the $50. One, right? Because like 40 or 50, because I'm one of them at about the $40 or $50 cusp, you get your name in the credits,
right?
And I was like, oh, do I want to make that plunge and make my name Nitrobeard so we're in the credits of Grim Dawn? Because that's awesome.
Or yeah. Wait, if we can pull $8,000 from the community, we can create a Nitrobeard side quest.
Yeah, we'll do a Kickstarter to kickstart our side quest fund for Grim Dawn.
Sorry for all the banging in the background there, guys.
It wasn't my fault this time.
It was my George Washington wig.
Right. Trying to get those names in the credits.
But yeah, so Grim Dawn, doing good things. I don't know, maybe it won't spark more talk about every single action RPG that's coming out.
They basically have the core game for Grim Dawn done, right? According to the video.
I think
they're using the same engine as Titan Quest. Like, they worked a deal with Iron Lore, or the original Iron Lore, to get some of the rights to it. So they have the engine, and I know they've worked on a lot. I don't know, if you look through the updates, there might be something alluding to kind of how far along they are.
Mm-hmm.
But they've still got a good amount to do.
Yeah.
So when was the original Titan Quest released?
2006.
And THQ just completely just said, hey, we're not going to do anything with that. You guys can go to hell. We don't need money.
Yeah, 2006.
Because we're doing well enough. We don't need money anymore.
Well, yeah, and I mean, and they came out with the expansion Immortal Throne, which was really good. My only deal with Titan Quest, and the reason why I'm excited about Grim Dawn, is the game played great. I just have no interest in Greek mythology. Like, that's one part of, I guess, nerd culture that I'm not – it does nothing for me. And so I lost interest pretty quick. But with Grim Dawn, it seems like they're making their own lore. They're kind of going about it that way. So Looks pretty cool. But nice. Hey, oh, and Brian's taking a quick break real quick. But Mark, yes. I saw that you bought Company of Heroes.
I did.
And
it turns out that, you know, this is the first time in basically like 5 or 6 years where I've had a computer that can run anything like fairly modern.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm catching up on a bunch of stuff. And Company of Heroes is fairly cheap. And so, you know, back when I was playing like PC games, I could understand the concept of real-time strategy games,
mm-hmm.
but I couldn't really get into them too much. It's right. Like Guitar Hero or like Madden.
Yeah, yeah. They're like, very specific games.
Yeah, I can understand why people, you know, I can watch videos of them. I watch people playing them. I can understand why people like them. So it's not like a situation where I say, oh, this is dumb shit. And it's also something where it's like, there's a lot of people that like these games. Maybe I'm really screwing up somewhere. I need to find out. It's like every couple of years, I'll try to figure out if I like Madden.
Yeah, yeah.
So I thought, okay, Company of Heroes is super cheap. I like the guys at Relic. I'm going to go ahead and buy this and see if I like real-time strategy games, even if we're talking about a real-time strategy game from 2007. And it turns out I still really suck at real-time strategy games.
Me too.
Yeah, it's just so much fucking pressure to keep track of a ton of stuff at the same time. And if I fuck up, people die. And it's like I'm not an action game, because if I fuck up, I know it's because of my own skills. I'm just responsible for me.
Right, right. I see what you're saying.
Yeah, it's like even like those squad based like action games. I'm not too fond of those either, because I don't know about those guys over there. I can't trust them. If right. they fuck up, that's my fault.
I can see that.
Yeah.
And the reason, because I made a bulletin beard last week about it, because they had their deal going on all weekend. And the reason why I kind of recommended it is very much still a real-time strategy game. But the main mechanics of it, like the cover system, like as long as you're in cover, you should be okay. Like as long as the little cover buttons are green, means you're in good cover. You probably just won't get flanked. The group mechanics are really good, because each squad has like 5 or 6 people and that's it. Instead of StarCraft, where you have an army of 700 units on the screen. So they made it, I guess, a little bit easier to digest. But how do you, what was your kind of main gameplay experience like with it?
I'm going to be perfectly frank. I played the tutorial, which was fine because I couldn't die. Right. And I played a half hour of the single player campaign where you go off on Normandy and like you're storming the beaches, which is kind of fucked up in of itself, because you're starting off in like the most horrific human experience mankind has ever created. The storming of Normandy. All right, this is already kind of fucking high pressure to begin with. So I get the guys to the cover, and it's fine. Okay, it's actually just kind of a tutorial itself, showing me how to get the cover.
Right.
And I blow up like the couple of machine gun nests, even though it's like. There's just a huge like swarm of people, so I'm just like clicking on everybody and saying, "Guys, which one of you fucking people has the grenade?
Just
throw the grenade over there. Just throw the fucking grenade." And, like, 4 little engineer guys, they're saying, "Oh, we got the same orders. Let's go over here," and they're dying. And like, fortunately, there's like more engineers that just come through, because apparently just people come off the boats. I was like, "Okay, I feel really bad about these letting these engineers die, but that's okay." Because a lot of people are dying. Let's go get to the bunker, and we go into the bunker, and they throw the satchels at and they blow it up. So, all right, fine. Maybe this isn't so bad, because there's a ton of dudes and they just keep feeding me guys. Say, okay, soldier, we gotta take out those M88 guns over there. So, all right, guys, we're gonna do that. So, and I'm given like my squad of riflemen and my squad of engineers, and these guys are personal to me now, because we went through that fucking beach.
Right, and they gave experience too. They actually your squad of units, if they fight through battles, they level up and get stronger, which is cool.
Yeah, so I don't want them to die. So I click on my guys. All right, guys, we're going to go up the beach. Oh, no, the engineers and the riflemen went to the same place, and now everyone's dead.
You are out of dudes.
Yeah, I'm a bad commander. You know what I can play? I can play Legend of Grimrock. And in that game, I control everybody. And if some fucking mind player kills me, I know exactly why that happened. That's my fault.
I will say there is, I think it's the third mission, because whenever I first played Company of Heroes, I heard a lot of hype about it, and I was like, okay, you know, this seems pretty cool, but I didn't ever play a Relic game besides Homeworld before that. So I was like, you know, I'm going to play this and see what it's about. got to the third level, and it sold me. And the reason why, and you may be interested in this, is you use a little squad, and you take over a church, like a broken-down church. You're trying to take a city back, and you take out a church, and they give you 4 snipers.
Okay.
What you can do is position the snipers in different places. You know, some can go behind enemy lines, or you can keep them up in, like, the watchtowers way away from battle, and pick which people you want to pick off.
Okay.
So it's a lot slower.
Yeah.
And it's more methodical, but it almost feels like a puzzle game. Because you're like, right. Okay, I could shoot the driver of the Jeep, and then it will crash the Jeep and tear down the bridge because it has real-time physics.
Right.
And it's like, it's really rewarding. And, like, if you can make it to the third mission, I'd be interested to see what you think. Because the game kind of takes a more personal turn at that point.
I would say that it's just like, anytime I got... There's just a whole lot of stuff to keep track of at the same time.
That's true.
On this map, and it's kind of overwhelming.
Yeah.
And I think I would, and weirdly, I would probably prefer playing Homeworld because it's spaceships, and I don't feel like it's going to sound really dumb. I don't feel a connection to the spaceships.
Well, it totally makes sense because the thing I think it works in its favor that the first level is Normandy, but it also is kind of intimidating because you're storming the beaches of Normandy and all this shit is happening. And you're like, oh God, I need to keep track of all this. People are shooting.
I'm in no control whatsoever. That's the big part about this. Just absolutely zero control over anything and feel completely helpless.
Yeah, exactly. And once you get past that first main mission and you get to like missions 2 and 3, it starts becoming more about you commanding the people instead of, get these people out of this hectic situation. And it's pretty cool, but I just wanted to ask you about it to see kind of what your thoughts are, because I love Company of Heroes, but it did take me a while to kind of get used to it, but now I play it at least once a year. I mean, it's one of those games for me, so I love it. But yeah, I'm at least glad you tried it. I'm at least glad you have a fair shake, and plus it's on your Steam library, so if one of these days you're like, you know what, I may go back and see what this is about.
Yeah. It's not going to go away.
Right, exactly. Cool. But we can take a quick break. We'll come back. I know we're going to do quite a bit of Diablo talk, but we can talk about what else we've been playing, more news, if it's come.
I only want to talk about what we haven't been playing.
Yeah, talk about games that we could maybe sometimes play. But
Diablo 3?
Max Payne 3?
Yeah, we'll talk a little bit about them.
What other 3 games?
No game we're not going to play is Bioshock Infinite.
Bioshock 3?
Or Tomb Raider.
Tomb Raider 3?
Tomb Raider 7?
Yeah,
7. Right, 7. Yeah, my bad.
But yeah, we will be right back after this break.
We'll be back.
You know what I mean? And so it's a game built on longevity. And sure, if he feels like it's not worth $60, that's one thing. But then he's also like, oh, the DRM is just the always-on internet connection just breaks it for me.
So here's the thing. Well, I mean, Steam, you can start offline and play offline.
Sure.
So I understand how that can be annoying. You know, yes, you want to be prepared for the situation, and maybe you don't have an internet connection and the internet's down and you want to play or whatever.
Yeah.
But yes, chances are 99% of the time his computer's always going to be on. I understand completely.
Yeah,
problem isn't so much when if the internet goes down and I want to play, it's if the internet disconnects and reconnects really quickly.
Right.
Well, but
Blizzard, that broke the Ubisoft games. That completely killed all those for me.
Well, yeah, Ubisoft games did it terribly, but like I was in the middle of a StarCraft 2 match and this is using the same infrastructure. My opponent's internet dropped. And it gave me a warning. It was like 30-second wait. And then as soon as he came back online and his computer reconnected, it synced our game back up, paused it, had a 5-second countdown, and came back up.
Right. They usually have things in place. You know, it'll just lag. I mean, just like in Left 4 Dead, when the connection goes out, and it's got like 20 seconds to let it reconnect. And if it doesn't, then it'll disconnect you. But yeah, I know Ubisoft is really shitty.
The other side of the argument is... Even if you do everything right on your end, like you have the most immaculate router that never goes down, if
my router is so immaculate.
If you want to play but Blizzard's servers are down,
yeah,
then you're screwed.
That is annoying, but also I can wait the hour it takes for their maintenance to go through.
Well, right, but it's still. I mean, I don't know. I guess he sees just when there are other games like Torchlight 2 or, you know, Titan Quest and Grim Dawn and stuff like that that aren't relying on an online component for the actual gameplay.
Sure.
And, you know, so he's like, yeah, well, why not? Why can't I play if, you know, your servers are down or my servers are down? But then you get into the whole, you know, character implementation. I know they're planning on having, like, a character sheet that you can link people to online for your characters.
They have the Armory for World of Warcraft, and it's going to be something similar to that, which is really cool, and it's a good way to keep track of your buddies and what they're doing. But it's mainly because of the Real Money Auction House. That's 1,000% the reason why they had the always-on deal. But, yeah, and I mean, I'm going to buy – I already have Torchlight 2 bought.
Me too.
From Dawn. I'm totally going to – I want to do the $40 one to get my name in the credits, but I don't know if I can get it.
So what's your limit for the clicky adventure stuff? I mean
– there. It really,
at some point, you're going to hit burnout, right? Because, I mean,
because here's the thing. The reason why I kind of like that genre is
– Son of a bitch. Thanks, Sonic.
Yeah, fuck you for liking that genre.
Come on. But it's almost an instant gratification thing. It's – I know even if I play for 5 minutes, I will make some sort of progress. And it's the same thing as like a Call of Duty game. A lot of people love Call of Duty and they'll buy that all the time. Is because or like, okay, Borderlands. Borderlands is kind of a great Diablo clone, but it doesn't have to do with point and click. It has to do with point and shoot. And I guess it's just the way that game is made to where, okay, I can play for 10 minutes or I can play for 10 hours. And I'm going to have an enjoyable experience regardless.
I would ask this. It's like I know some people have been in like the Diablo 3 beta and some people have been in the Torchlight 2 beta.
Mm-hmm.
I just kind of wondering what these three games are going to do separately that would make it like interesting to play all three of them concurrently.
Right.
Because, I mean, it's not like you're going to be in a situation where you go, oh, I finished Diablo 3 now. It's time to go into Torchlight. And you're probably going to be playing all three
simultaneously. Well, I mean it's the exact things that set it apart. I mean, it's the, you know, the art styles, the actual visuals, you know, the world setting, kind of the tones. But then probably, I mean, if you just want to boil it down to game mechanics, different characters and powers, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's different settings and things like that, but the reason why I'm kind of a huge Blizzard fanboy is, hell, if I really wanted to, I could go back and play Warcraft 2 and still have a great time because the game has aged incredibly well. And that's – even World of Warcraft has aged incredibly well. I mean, there's something about their design sense. I only put them in the same light as, like, Valve, because you can go back and play Half-Life 1. Sure, it's dated, but you can still see how it influenced the entire industry. And there comes a point, even Nintendo is the same way. You can go back and play Super Mario Brothers and have a hell of a time. But I guess for me, it's also the release of Diablo 3 is kind of a big deal because I think this is one of the last times, you know, until Half-Life 3 comes out, that we're going to see one of those games to where, guess what? You had to wait over a decade for the next game. And we're in an industry now where Assassin's Creed comes out every 6 months.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I've had to wait like 3 years for a good Assassin's Creed game.
Right. Because you run into that, right? It turns into everything as an annual franchise. And
it would be one after Diablo 3 that you would do it. Because we got friggin' Half-Life 2 finally. I mean, excuse me, Deus Ex 2 finally.
Right. See, even that, yeah, Deus Ex was a big deal because what? It was 5 years? 6 years?
Yeah.
So, I mean, pretty long time between these games.
So, Thief 4 when it comes out, maybe?
Yeah.
Thief
4. God, Thief 4? This could be. If they bring back, well, arguably they did bring back System Shock with Bioshock.
I don't think we want the EA System Shock to actually come out.
Yeah. So what about the, God, I can't remember the name.
XCOM?
With the, yeah, XCOM. Not the FPS one, the decent one.
Right.
Are they making a decent one?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
It plays like the new Jagged Alliance.
Looks pretty cool.
I don't know. So, I guess the FPS version of it kind of stole the thunder. You know what I mean? Like,
I think this stole the thunder of the FPS version. Honestly.
Right. Yeah. I was gonna say because I've seen much less about the FPS one recently than I have about the kind of the tactical one.
How is the FPS one not out? I thought it was coming out like the day of Mass Effect.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. But that's what I mean. Like the fact that the XCOM name is now split into two kind of does a disservice to both games.
Yeah, but I mean, Mark, as far as like click game burnout goes, I don't know. Me personally, I don't really burn out on it. The worst things that happens is that I'll stay up way too long playing it, and I end up like falling asleep at the computer just clicking my mouse.
Yeah.
So like I'll be playing with my brother, or, you know, one of the other Plat guys, and all of a sudden I'm just like, my mouse button is being held down, and I'm just like running into this fence in place. So that happens sometimes. But
as someone that doesn't like really into Blizzard games, mm-hmm. I always find these big event games from them not baffling, but I sort of shrug off the fact that I don't get it. Like with StarCraft 2, when that came out, and everyone was like, "Oh my God, a new StarCraft! My life can resume."
I think it's a case of the hype overshadowing the game.
Right, but I think the thing that why I'm such a huge Blizzard nerd is because for me at least, every single release they've come out with that has been hyped like that has lived up to it. It's like whenever they had StarCraft 2, I was kind of blown away because it's like they made a sequel to chess.
Well, every time they release something, it's like the best in its class.
Yes.
Everybody else just spends years catching up.
Oh, it stole this from this, and it stole this from that, and Blizzard's
doesn't?
Good. Yeah, exactly. And I'm like, if it's good, it's good. And Blizzard makes remarkably good games. And there's just not very many of those developers anymore. Like, are we going to look at BioWare? Like, now there's a BioWare for, like, mobile games.
To.
Maybe. Yeah, exactly. We used to, and then it was a big deal until now there's 17 BioWare studios because they just name anything that makes games.
BioWare is a brand now.
Yeah, it's just upsetting. You know, and people thought Activision Blizzard, that same thing would happen. The exact opposite has happened. You know, like if anything, Activision is waiting on, you know, on their heels because a new Blizzard game is coming out, and it's going to make them a shit ton of money, not the other way around. So
I guess Valve stuff is still counts like that.
Yeah, Valve is the only independent one that I can see, and I say independent, you know, meaning they're not bought out by some giant shareholder. But
of course, you have to wonder if Steam keeps them from having to do that. What's more important to them, is Steam more important to them, or is like their game development more important?
Right.
Well, Steam lets them do whatever they want with game development. I don't think Portal 2 would have been delayed for. How long was it delayed? Another year?
Mm-hmm.
And became like one of the experience that it was if they were beholden to, say, EA.
Correct. Yeah, exactly. Or they would have had to rush it out the door or something. And I mean, Blizzard is one of those developers. Like, essentially, they were so powerful, they bought the share of Activision, not the other way around. You know, because Vivendi Universal owned Blizzard, and then Vivendi and Blizzard both bought out Activision. So that's a lot of chutzpah. You know what I mean? Like, they are the tenured people now, and I guess they're from an era gone by. I guess like the whole BioWare, Black Isle, Blizzard, Valve, that era is gone. But every once in a while, like every 10 years or so, we see something that harkens back to it, and it's pretty exciting.
Or we see like this shambling corpse just come lingering along like Obsidian will show up with. Okay, I don't know how you guys stay in business, but it's pretty cool you guys are. Yeah. I don't know how long you're going to be able to do this, but you got New Vegas out of it. So it's pretty cool.
So I just realized that we completely forgot to wish Matt a happy baby day.
Oh, shit.
Oh, snap.
Are we actually back?
Yeah.
We were. That was a good conversation, so yes, we're back.
Yeah,
we're
all back. Right. Back. We'll just
stop playing, stop playing Sonic 2006.
Maybe to be like less disrespectful to Matt, we can like put this at the beginning. Or did I just ruin that by saying?
You just ruined it by saying that. God damn, you do always every time, Mark.
No, but
every time.
But
Matt, we're very sorry.
Congratulations, man.
Congratulations to Matt Pierce on the birth of his baby Rebecca. And of course, congratulations to Matt and his wife as well. Of course,
and it wasn't healthy.
It wasn't just Matt.
Yeah, it was a healthy baby. It was like.
She didn't listen to this. We can give him all the credit.
The credit. Well done, sir. But yeah, healthy baby, like 8 pounds.
5 ounces.
5 ounces.
That's I know babies.
People keep talking about like babies' weight whenever they get born. And it's just like, I can never remember, like, what's a heavy baby or, like, what's a good size. It's like, there's nothing to, like, contrast that against.
I would say 7 to 8 pounds is about...
Normal?
Yeah. Well, not normal, but I would say, like, a good, healthy size. I mean, Gracie was 6 pounds, 8 ounces, so a little bit tiny, but she's now up to, like, 9.5 pounds. She's a freaking hoss. But I just now thought I said 7 to 8, and I was like, oh, now the babies use the 7 to 9 rating scale from Games Journalism.
This is baby visceral?
Yeah, the super compelling.
Right. If you're a fan of other young things, perhaps you'll consider human babies.
Yeah.
Gracie visceral.
Baby Gracie is very unique. Here's what I know about Matt's child, Rebecca. It's like, when you're the parents of a child and you have... You name your kid Rebecca. Mm-hmm. Do you get to pick if that kid stays Rebecca or it gets shortened? Or does the child pick that up or, like, the friends of the child?
Right.
I imagine by high school you have decided what your name is going to be.
Yes.
Yeah, but I'm just wondering if, like, does the kid decide that or do the parents?
The kid will probably decide. The kid will tell his teacher whatever he wants to be called.
Exactly.
Yeah. And the parents might influence, but...
Right, the parents will influence, but I think it's a super smart move to have a name like Rebecca, because, I mean, Gracie's full name is Gracelyn.
Okay.
But, so she can be called Grace, she can be called Gracie, she can be called Gracelyn, you know, so it's up to her or her friends. So if
or if you really want to know the kid's in trouble, you call her Gracelyn.
Yes, oh yeah, you just firmly do it. The
Gracelyn?
The daddy stare, like,
I mean, Valve Software didn't decide... for us to call them Gabesoft. I mean, they just that was our call.
So it's Gabensoft.
Gaben.
Gabensoft. Right. Gabensoft.
Gabensoft.
The reason I ask is because for whatever reason, my dad decided that I was going to be called by my middle name, despite my mom's wishes.
I mean, did your dad pick your middle name?
Yeah.
That's why.
Yeah, so he decided that Kevin was a sissy name, and I apologize to any Kevins out there in the audience. But my mom thought that she won because she got to pick Kevin as the first name.
Right.
So when they decided to bring us out to like show the family and friends, Dad just called me.
This is Mark.
Yeah, this is Mark, and that was it. I was fucked. I can't decide. Well, I want to be called Kevin. No, it's too late because then you'd be disrespecting your dad. So well, I.
You can always hop on a plane like a character in Burn Notice and just change your name.
Oh, yeah.
See what I'm saying? Like, show up in Hawaii as a different person. You know, you could do that.
But your legal name's still Kevin Bradshaw, right?
It's Kevin Mark Bradshaw, yeah. And it's weird because it's like, I have to put the full name in there because if I don't, they won't know to call me by my middle name. If they don't call me by my middle name, I won't know to answer to it.
Right. Because you're not used to answering to Kevin.
You're not used to responding to Kevin, yeah.
Yeah.
Does your mom call you Kevin?
No, sadly enough.
Yeah, okay. She gave up that war.
She's succumbed to to Mark.
Yeah, very early. Very early.
Yeah, that's pretty funny.
that's awesome.
Well, I'm just wondering, like, does the dad get to choose, like, if it's going to be Rebecca or Becca? Or does the mom get to choose? I don't know. It's
whoever wins that fight.
Yeah. Okay.
See, I found out my parents explicitly named me after the cricket player. Which is like, that's a hard thing to realize because then you're like, they put no thought into this. They're right. Like, hey, our last name's Vakan. We're going to put Imran in front of this, and there we go.
That'd be funny.
Done.
It's like your last name is Jordan. You just name him Michael, and then that's it.
Yeah.
Your life. That reminds me, there's actually an ESPN commercial out now about some poor guy named Michael Jordan and people just being severely.
Yes. Yeah, that was pretty funny.
Let's see here. What year did Wrath of Khan come out? And you born at that point in time.
It was whatever year Imran was born.
I was born in 85.
And let's see what year Wrath of Khan came out, because your parents may have messed up horribly. They should have named you Wrath of.
Wrath of.
Let's see here.
I started my own JRPG.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Wrath of Khan was in 82, so your parents had the opportunity to fix this and after the cricket player. That's terribly disappointing.
So, yeah. So in honor of the birth of Matt's kid, we're going to talk about Max Payne 3.
That's right. Because
when my baby entered this world, screaming, kicking, like a baby alligator, I got nothing.
Baby alligator?
Yeah. I've been thinking about alligators
like
all day
because
I saw this...
Like, eating once
this,
every 3 days?
No, because I saw this photo of turtles riding on alligators.
Awesome.
Yeah, apparently turtles do that.
Badass turtles.
Alligator. Yeah.
It's like Frogger, but with turtles.
They don't take no shit.
Nope. So, let's talk about... So, first off, I want to say that... So, I watched the giant bomb quick look of Max Payne 3.
That's what I've...
And that's really all I've seen. I think that might be the thing we're all referring to when we talk about Max Payne 3 right there, or it's right now at this point.
It's about a 30-minute look.
Yeah, 30-minute look. And first off, I just want to say that Max sounds like Max Payne plus Duke Nukem plus Macho Man Randy Savage.
Yeah.
And there's one more I can't put my finger on. I've been thinking about it all day, and I can't.
Is it?
I hear the voice in my head, and like the inflection, and the guy's kind of pacing, but I can't think of his name.
Like, is that Adam Jensen from Deus Ex?
Maybe it might be. No, it's not though. I'll think of it eventually. But yeah, so he sounds like that, and then Ryan Bloom pointed out that he looks. Max Payne now looks a lot like Nick from Left 4 Dead 2, which I guess also... basically, he was saying Frank West from Dead Rising and Max Payne and Nick from Left 4 Dead 2 are the new Bald Space Marine.
I like that we've moved on from Bald Space Marine to kind of scuzzy-looking dude.
Dead
I
think
well, there's the GTA 5 guy, too.
Like Las Vegas lounge lizards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
So I'm not sure how I feel about that. I'm sure it's a fun game, but I'm not sure it's a Max Payne game.
It seems that its heart was sort of in the right place because they don't have, you know, the recurring health or like recharging health. They still have the pill bottles. They still have the little icon out there.
Mechanically it's all there.
But you're right. Something's off. And I was watching it, and I think for me, the game looks too busy. Because the thing I loved about Max Payne 1 and 2 were how bone dry and simple and direct those stories were. It's like, okay, all these people, all these drug addicts are addicted to Valkyrie, you know, the heroin-esque drug, and these people came and killed my family, I'm going to go get revenge and try to take this Valkyrie problem out from the streets. That was it. That was it for Max Payne 2. Or was that Max Payne 1? That was Max Payne 1. Yeah. And then Max Payne 2, you know, he falls in love with Mona Sachs, and he just has to go avenge her, basically. That's it. That was it. But now, in 30 minutes, he did more. Max Payne did more? Like, I jump through a helicopter, and then I kick down this window.
There's always an excuse to do some extreme action movement.
Which is, it always seemed like the Max Payne 1 and 2, never actually played them, but they seemed like they were kind of grounded.
Yeah, exactly. They were. And that's what made it... I think
the giant bomb guys even made a good description of it when they called it, like, if Michael Mann... Or, sorry, Michael... shit. Michael Bay made a Max Payne game.
Yeah. Or I think they did bring up Michael Mann, the director of Collateral.
Maybe that was it. I don't remember. Yeah. But I thought they were talking about Michael Bay. Or maybe it was Michael Mann.
It seemed more like bad Tony Scott. Because it'd be good. Like, Man on Fire was awesome, but Domino Harvey sucked, and it reminded me of Domino Harvey, because it was the shaky cam, and then he was being drunk and silly, and then it cut to a new thing, but he was just doing so much that it didn't feel like, it felt like the adventures of Max Payne.
I don't know. I mean, for me, I think it's that one of the biggest selling points for the Max Payne games was the kind of the film noir aesthetic. And that is nowhere to be seen in this.
Exactly.
Nowhere. I mean, there are some overtones, but like not even, you know, kind of his internal voice or the kind of voice you hear throughout the game of him speaking is, I don't know.
And it seems like there's a lot of 2-bit characters. And it, once again, this is just from a 30-minute
book. Right, exactly.
We haven't played it. We haven't got hands on, so we don't know how the story evolves. But even in 30 minutes, how many people did we meet? Like 11? And they're like, hey, I'm the drug dealer. And then they go to a nightclub. And then, hey, man, here's my main man, Sony K. And Sony K is going to be breakdancing. And you're like, who are these people? And why
do they're these people that you trust to fly you around in a helicopter.
Yeah.
Now, hang a second. I haven't actually watched your quick look because I'm trying to like, stay away from it until actually the game comes out. During the quick look, are they in like Latin America yet? Is he like trying to save like the kidnapped girl at that point?
It's not obvious that...
Yet?
It's not obvious that they're there visually, but because there's like, you know, a big pump and club scene, but everyone's speaking Portuguese, and you know, he's surrounded by a lot of people with Portuguese accents and stuff like that. Although I will say the best part of that quicklet was when he did a slow-mo dive and downed a bottle of pills in midair before shooting a guy and landing on the ground.
Yeah, it's just ridiculous.
Like, I would say, though, that if you take a look at, like, the staff for the game, I mean, the writer is the writer for, like, Red Dead Redemption and Grand Theft Auto.
Right. So I mean, and you could tell with the characters, because they have added a whole bunch of side characters and stuff like that. But what I'm hoping, and in Ryan Davis's review, like Giant Bomb has a review up as well. I read that just to make sure we weren't missing the mark too much. But he says that the story does have a good Red Dead-esque progression. Like, it feels like you're actually doing something from a point A to a point B. And as long as that happens, I'm fine.
Red Dead had kind of shitty progression.
Right, well, I mean, what about
shitty pacing. If you could just get rid of Mexico entirely.
Yeah, the pacing.
A great game.
I think
Mark Bradshaw.
Box quote.
Get rid of Mexico.
but the authority. I'm getting rid of Mexico. But I don't know. It doesn't feel right, and it sounds silly to say. But
no, it doesn't. I appreciate that this is Rockstar's take on the Max Payne game. But I'm not sure that's what Max Payne fans want.
It's not so much Max Payne 3 as it is Max Payne Rockstar.
Yes, exactly.
In this market we have right now, would you expect us to ever get a Max Payne 3?
Well, I mean, you've got Alan Wake, and that's seemingly pretty successful.
That's a good point, because that's a very tonality-wise. They kind of hit similar beats. It's kind of a downtrodden, very introspective.
Oh, man.
I feel like we would have gotten Max Payne 3 if not for Alan Wake.
And I just want to say how annoying, like, the glitchy glare kind of thing on all the cutscenes is.
Yes.
It's the words that pop up. That's
strange.
And
the words that pop up. This is really, like, I'm okay if they do kind of titles or whatever, but, like, when random words pop up.
Like, at first I thought it was just, you know, Max being crazy and drug addled. But then I saw the Game Trailers review, and they had scenes where Max Payne wasn't there, and they were still doing the word thing.
Right, and the random glitchy and, you know, doubles eyes, and
Like, I can see they're going for a style, but, I mean, it's not a very good style.
And how many...
It's not a good style for Max Payne.
Right.
Yeah.
Would you guys be happier if it wasn't Max Payne at all? If they just said, okay, this is, like, Rockstar's newest IP, you got this down and out, basically, we're going to make Man on Fire the movie.
Which sure, I mean, and like I said, I mean, mechanically,
like
I'm sure...
If you could disconnect the old Max Payne name from this, would you be happier with the end product?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Well, I have no attachment to the series, really, so I don't really care. But if they didn't call it Max Payne 3, I'd probably be more interested because I don't want to jump into Max Payne 3.
Right. I mean, the good news is, I mean, Max Payne's kind of a separate deal. But did any of you play Splinter Cell Conviction?
Yeah.
No, I've been meaning to. That's kind of been on my radar for really a long time.
I got to the White House.
Okay.
As far as I got.
So that, I guess, would fill that niche for me. Like, as far as Max Payne 1 and 2 is concerned, it seems like Splinter Cell Conviction kind of did what they're trying to do with Max Payne. Like, the words being edgy, but the words were actually part of the levels. Like, right. It was still stylish.
They had and they were just, like, the name of the location. And, well, no, I guess they did have stuff like, kill this man.
Yeah, kill so-and-so.
But they put, the objectives on, like, they didn't, like, put in the UI. It's, like, in the world.
Right. They did it very stylishly.
It seemed like a much better implementation.
Like, if you're interrogating somebody, he's describing something, it's projected onto the wall.
Yes. See, and that's a stylish way to do it. And Max Payne's always been about very subtle style like that, like the comic book scenes, stuff like that. So they tried to make
this one is just like Chris Angel in your face.
Yeah, exactly. It's like a Mountain Dew commercial. And it just rubs me the wrong way.
Yeah. But the same thing,
like, I noticed when he was in the Giant Bomb quick look, when he was trying to decide how to take on the guys in the deck below, he did the Rockstar thing where the main character will, like, look around and pace around and, like, throw his hands up in the air. It's like every single one of them does that.
Yeah.
And, like, I don't know if it's, like, DreamWorks face where they don't realize it yet.
Right.
Well, with Rockstar, it's like the Rockstar animation run. Like, they all have that exact same bend of their elbows and they're slightly kind of behind their torso when there's, I don't know, there's this really weird.
They kind of lean into it.
Animation in all Rockstar games recently.
They've all been using the same animation library, and they just hoping that no one has paid attention.
Right, I'm sure.
Just different textures.
Although, I mean, they do have a pretty smooth animation on Max, at least from what I've seen.
They use Euphoria well.
Yeah.
But, the weird thing about this game is apparently multiplayer is fantastic. Like, for every complaint people have about single player, for some reason it doesn't apply to multiplayer. Like, glitches within the single player game are fixed in multiplayer.
Wow.
Yeah, that's weird.
I don't know if I trust Rockstar multiplayer after Red Dead Redemption, though, because that was just a clusterfuck.
Yeah.
And the only reason GTA 4 multiplayer is fun is just because it's open world fucking chaos.
Yeah, you can do whatever you want.
Apparently that's been hacked to hell. Like, people were telling me that you go in there and you see people just creating buildings on the fly. Like, it's become sort of grotesque Minecraft at this point.
I mean, did you see that the video me and my friend Ben, the Quat that I've played with, the video of us escaping from that truck?
Mm-mm.
Like, we hopped on for some, I'll have to link the video, but we hopped on for some GTA 4 multiplayer just for fun. And we, of course, you know, we're just dicking around. We got on a moped and we're riding together. And this guy is just trying to murder us with a flying truck. Like, he's just flying around, snaking around. He has, like, this super speed RAM button. So, yeah, it's a lot of hacking and stuff like that. Absolutely.
I don't know if that makes it better or worse.
It depends. I mean, like, we would go in there and we'd find some people just doing really dicky stuff. And we're like, oh, let's just find a new server. We just kind of want to do regular shit. But this time we kind of embraced the chaos of a flying truck. Yeah.
I mean, like, apparently just multiplayer is really fun. Like, bullet time is sort of a spherical ability that it affects people in a certain radius around you. Yeah.
Yeah, it seems neat. I mean, I'm sure the multiplayer is fun. But yeah, I mean, again, one of the biggest selling points for at least for me for Max Payne was the kind of the film noir aspect, and that's nowhere.
And I think it's also just a narrative shift, because it looks like this game is more, and once again, based on 30 minutes of footage, so I could be totally wrong in this, it doesn't look like it's even worried about Max Payne anymore. Like, it's introducing all these different people, and Max Payne 1 and 2 were so good because you were with Max throughout the whole thing. His good days, his bad days.
You meet, like, four, you know, kind of power characters.
Maybe, yeah. And then three of those die. You know what I mean? So there's – you don't have a full cast and crew that you're, you know, a sitcom-style thing.
Then again, it may be necessary for them to do that, because we're talking about the last game was released in 2003.
Yeah.
I think, and like there was that awful movie in the middle. I think they really just have to rehabilitate like the entire franchise from the public's mind.
It's been
long enough.
The movie captures Max Payne's spirit better than the game so far does, from the looks of it, and that's terrifying.
Possibly.
To think about.
I might agree with you.
That's terrifying to think about.
Wait, yeah. Movie?
The Max Payne movie
with Marky Mark.
I don't think I've ever seen or heard of this.
Mark
you have, you just don't realize it. I trust you.
You blocked it from your memory.
Yeah.
Possibly.
It was the same time that they did the Hitman movie. I think they were even at the same time.
I remember the Hitman movie is just seeing a guy with a barcode on his neck.
Yeah, Timothy Oliphant. He played it okay, but he wasn't afraid of anything.
Here's what I think might have made a little more sense if they had maybe, like, reintroduce Max Payne to the public mind. I don't know if, like, Rockstar even owns, like, anything from the previous two games when
they published it. Take-Two developed it, but Rockstar has been publishing the whole time, so.
So I don't know if, like, they have rights to the game at all, but I think what might make more sense is just remaking the first two games, putting, like, nice high-definition textures, give them modern, like, game design elements, pack, sell them together, before you sold this thing, and then sell like the third Max Payne as kind of a more traditional Max Payne that, you know, kind of makes sense in the universe.
Yeah.
Not that makes sense to anybody else.
They tried to get the interest back up by doing the iOS version of Max Payne 1, what was that, like a month ago? Something like that. So, I mean, well, they at least tried to get the name back out there, but I don't know what a cell phone game or a cell phone port of a game would be. But I don't, it's just very bizarre, right? I mean, I think it's double bizarre, because on the same day, okay, you have Max Payne, and it's been years and years since that franchise has been out. And then you have Diablo. It's been years and years, but tone-wise, Diablo has hit the mark with Diablo. Like, it's very much a Diablo game.
Well, I was about to say, come to think of it, they actually, I mean, looking at it, they, I guess, maybe had some of the same issues. Like, you know, Diablo 2, from what I've seen, and there's a whole uproar about Diablo 3 adding too much color and not being dark enough.
Yeah.
And maybe that's the same thing with Max Payne 3. And I'm sure there will be people that, you know, will say, like, oh, whatever, stop whining, you know, stop being so attached to the old series.
the film noir
wasn't everything.
Yeah.
But, you know, the fact of the matter is that's, for some people, that's what they really attached to and related to.
Right, correct.
Yeah.
I was originally kind of pissed about that Max Payne 3 got a 3-week delay for PC. Because, I just don't plan to buy it now. I don't support that kind of delay, but then I realized they're doing that because they don't want to launch against Diablo.
Yeah.
And it'll give you some extra time to earn that extra $10 for a $60
PC
game.
That's right.
Well, it's a Rockstar game, so it's going to be $5 this winter.
During that Steam sale.
Oh, man.
See, it's kind of bullshit we're waiting like half a month for it to come out on the right platform. And I think I can say that as a PC elitist now.
You can say that.
Yeah, that's right. You're part of the club, brother. Welcome.
All right. Hopefully, I don't have to get a stinking gamepad for this stupid.
Yeah,
game. But it is kind of bullshit that they're still charging $60, even though like you're having to wait half a month for that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
yeah,
it is.
You know, I mean, by the time it hits GameStop, it'll be like $55 with like your used discount. So, yeah. Not that I would do that.
So
you trade games and get the Steam card.
Yeah,
try to get your Steam card. I'm only gonna get you Steam cards for your birthday. All right, I'm going to go off on two tangents real quick. One, so I watched this movie, Don't Be Afraid of the Dark, the other night with the missus, which is on Netflix, and it's a Guillermo del Toro has part in it. He co-wrote it, and it was pretty good. Like, it was a solid horror film about this girl moves into some big crazy house, strange creatures live there, and they want her teeth. They eat kids' teeth. But anyway, so it was a pretty good movie, all things. And then it gets to the end, and the credits start rolling, and there's fucking Comic Sans. And I lost my shit. I was just like, what? Really? Seriously?
That's the most terrifying part of the movie.
It was the most terrifying part of the movie. So, yeah, I just had to mention that. It'll probably be up in a Netflix Insanity sometime soon. But then the second one I want to mention that. So recently I ordered for myself Forbidden Island, which is a board game. It's like $25. And it's relatively simple. It's made by the same guy that made Pandemic, which was a board game that Sean Vanneman recommended and involves kind of trying to use your abilities to battle various diseases that emerge in the city. So I've been playing Forbidden Island with my wife, which sounds completely wrong. I know. Don't get me wrong.
and hide the pickle, are we?
But it's really neat. Like, I remember reading the descriptions for it after I was kind of looking at recommendations, and the descriptions were like, you'll find your heart pounding before you even know it. And I'm like, it's a board game, whatever. So anyways, the game involves, you start off with like 24 tiles, and the premise is that you're adventurers on this island trying to get these treasures. And these tiles can be flipped, and they start submerging unless you help them to shore up, is what it's called. And so, like, we sat down for our first game, and before we know it, like, half the tiles are submerged, and, like, we're on an island, and we can't get away. But it's a really neat game, and it's kind of a quicker playtime. And anyways, Forbidden Island, highly recommended by me. It's a lot of fun.
Nice.
I should go into more description about it, but I won't. Maybe I'll do a little write-up about it on the site.
Yeah, man.
But I just wanted to mention that because I've been playing and really delving into more board games.
I would really like to see board game articles. Just because I mean, you're going to be kind of the go-to source now for me, at least. Like, whenever you discuss them and stuff, I get interested, and a lot of my friends that listen to the podcast are like, yeah, man, we all need to get a board game. So have your boy decide on a board game for us to get, and we'll get it.
Your boy.
get your boy, talk to your man, and do it.
But no, it's really fun. It's cooperative, and you really do need to work together pretty hard to keep this island from sinking and get all the treasures and get the fuck out of there.
That's pretty cool.
And yeah, so
and how many players is it? Is it up to?
It's 1 to 4. 4 is the max.
Okay.
But what's really neat is that, and it didn't even occur to me, because you've got these 24 island tiles, which are all kind of different locations, and the art is really nice. I mean, mechanically, it's and kind of artistically, it's a beautiful game. you can actually, like, they give you a layout for a configuration for you to put the tiles in, which is basically kind of like a diamond. But then other people have kind of like play tested different tile formations, which didn't even occur to me. So like, there's this one guy that actually made a whole deck of cards that you can kind of print out or get printed somewhere of different tile configurations with difficulty ratings and shit like that. So you can get, like, you know, two smaller islands connected by a bridge, which of course makes it more chaotic because you got to make sure that bridge doesn't sink. So mechanically it's shallow. So, I mean, like, it says ages 10 up, so anyone can play it, but, yeah, it's really, really fun.
Awesome. Good deal. But, yeah, any other news that I can't really
BioShock
think
got delayed.
That's right. BioShock pushed back
as
to 2013.
Tomb Raider.
So in other news, they were releasing another Tomb Raider.
Actually, I think it looks kind of cool.
Yeah. No, it does look good. But did they ever really set this will be coming in 2012?
Yes.
They did? Okay.
Last E3, they said end of 2012.
Hmm.
I don't think it's too, like, Tomb Raider, they may be just tagging on a multiplayer mode, maybe same for BioShock. But I think it's more that Black Ops 2 is coming out, and there's a possibility of Grand Theft Auto 5 coming out.
Yeah. I don't see GTA coming out, though.
Maybe. I mean, now that Max Payne 3 is out, we're going to see if Rockstar starts talking about GTA 5 a lot more than it's coming out this year.
Yeah. Well, we can see it, especially during the summer. They'll do some summertime thing.
But yeah, so they're probably not going to be the only two things that slip. Unless you're a big, big game or a Wii U launch title, I think there's a decent chance you'll have to wait till next year.
Yeah. That's unfortunate. But with the Tomb Raider and the BioShock, I think, you know, they'll be worth the wait. If they
and
have
the Half-Life.
The half, comma, life.
Half, semicolon, life. The Half-Life.
Find out the mysteries of the Mighty Barbarians.
There's an anime that does that for, like, Stein, semicolon, gate. And, like, every time I look at the title, it pisses me off. Because there's no reason that semicolon should be there. It's just, like, part of the actual plot. Like, maybe the main character has, like, part of a colon. Because then that's clever.
I see.
Yeah. Then I don't mind it so much. Right. But otherwise, yeah.
All right, well, that's it for us. This has been
as the podcast came to a close, I thought to myself, when will we meet again? Would it be 7 days? A week?
Probably.
One quarter of a month? Maybe I'd never see them at all. Drop off the face of Earth. Like the Pan Am Atlantic flight one day. I got fucking hell. Bye, everybody.
You're going to cross-reference stuff and be like,
also clearly wrong.
We finished trying to, and that should be slowly leaking out.
Episodes will be going up as I find time to export and upload them. And
if you have suggestions of what our next thing should be, tweet us.
Yeah, definitely. And then
tweet at your boy.
Get at your boys at Nitrobeard.
Sorry.
Just do it. But,
the beard.
The beard. But yeah, trying to, for the record, is getting more and more gorgeous as you guys play through it. Like, I put that comment on there, and that is a beautiful-looking game.
It is. There's a point where, like, there's a kind of a water level that's probably the best-looking water I've seen ever.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's coming soon on nitropia.com. The best-looking water you've ever seen.
Ever.
But yeah, and for the record, the Diablo 3 countdown is at 4 hours, 49 minutes, and 56 seconds. So, you know.
Just enough time to edit and put up a podcast.
That's right. It'll be up for Diablo, because you won't see me until next week after that. But if you want to see me holly at your boy on Diablo.
You shut your fucking whore mouth.
No, I think we invented a new Jersey Shore character.
I kind of want to, like, throw the hashtag Diablo onto, like, every tweet I'm doing tonight, regardless of what it is.
Yes.
Show it up, man. I'll do it for the podcast too. I'll put it in the meta tags. Diablo 3 exclusive release strategies. So we'll get like 4
exclusive release strategies. How to release?
If you need
Diablo
to know
3.
How to like get around the server block in Diablo 3. No, listen to this podcast.
Have you seen?
You have an error 108. Let us know.
Have you seen the lines in Korea that are already forming?
Yes.
Yeah. Did they not get like digital versions there?
I don't know. I don't know if
which is weird because they have like the best like broadband internet in the world.
Oh yeah, because of StarCraft.
Some people like having a physical thing. I don't know.
But I just don't remember if like they had a physical thing for StarCraft 2 either.
It might be a licensing issue.
And then I did see like a photo from like the Sweden launch party of Diablo 3, and they're like in this kind of under cave, like this, just this arc brick tunnel, dark damp, candles lit, and it was, I don't know, I guess they do shit classy over there.
They do.
Or something.
They do it for real.
Let's leave.
Yeah, we're done here. Diablo 3 tonight. This has been the Beardcast. We'll see you next week.
Peace. Bye, everybody.
Bye. Bye.